Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue studying living with one eye on eternity. Oh, that'll change our living. If we're living with our eye on eternity, that'll change our living. And that's how Paul lived. We learned that in chapter 4 towards the end. And it's continuing in chapter number 5. Oh, God bless you. Thank you for being right there by your radio or your mobile device, computer. I don't know how in the world you're listening to us. But it's a big blessing to me. I'm grateful, humbled that you'd be spending a little bit of your time to hear God's word. I'm praying that I can be a blessing to you and a help to you. It blesses my heart to be behind this radio mic right now. And I'm stirred up about this message that I've got here right out of the Word of God. I tell you, friend, God's word is powerful. And it's got some truths in here that I want to try to dig out here in just a few moments of time. Let's look at verse number 1. Of chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Ah, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'll tell you, friend, oh, we're strangers and pilgrims. Oh, we're not, this world's not our home. Don't put your tent stakes down too far. Don't do it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to die, or Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and Paul's got that in mind. He's living with one eye on eternity, and that involves a promise of a new body. This tabernacle of ours, this house of ours, this body of ours is dissolving. It's dissolving. That's what it says. The earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We've got to build in heaven. Yeah. How about that? Not only involves, we looked at that yesterday, not only involves a new body, but it involves a new house. A new house. Something we groan for, living with one eye on eternity. What is Paul saying here? He's groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. I mean, we're groaning for it earnestly. It's the promise of a heavenly body. Yeah, this promise caused Paul and other believers to groan for it. Oh, they want it. They want it bad. They shout for it. They sing for it. They want it. They want it. Before, there was all kinds of narcotics and drugs that they put on people. People would groan for the release. They would groan for the liberating experience to be at home with Jesus, right? And people get older and older. They groan. Why do they groan? They're not groaning because their back hurts. They're not groaning because of sickness. They're groaning because of a desire to be with Jesus. Lord, just go ahead and take me home. But it's not necessarily because of the pain. It's because also a desire to be with Him. I guess it's both, but more the desire to be with Him. Christians, true Christians, don't groan to stay here. They groan to leave. True Christians don't desire to be left on the earth. They want to leave this earth and go to heaven. True Christians groan. I mean, they groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed. They want to be with Jesus in their glorified body. It's going to happen. It's not a figment of your imagination, friend. You're going to get a brand new body. Your eyes are going to work great. Your knees are going to bend without cracking. You're going to have strong shoulders again. You're not going to be hunched over. You're going to get a brand new body. And Paul said he earnestly desired his glorified body. He longed or pined for it. These bodies are just decaying. They're dissolving, just breaking up. They're burdened down. They're weighed down. They're pressed down by the pressures of life through all those decades. And Paul says, I'm groaning to get that new body. I bet he was. You think so? He had scars. He bore in his body the marks of the cross. He had scars. He had bruises. He was left for dead, beat. Beat with a rod. Yeah. Had that thorn in his flesh. He wanted a new body that didn't have that thorn, right? He groaned for it. We ought to groan for it as well. And if we are living with one eye on eternity, we will. But there's a pledge here of the Holy Spirit. I love this. A pledge from the Holy Spirit, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the same, selfsame thing as God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Wrought. He that hath wrought us. He wrought us. Oh yeah, he formed us. He made us. He prepared us. He's the one that made us who we are. For he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. Selfsame thing, what do you mean? He bought us so we could have the hope and one day the reality of a glorified body in a celestial city. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God calls it the earnest of the Spirit. What's that mean? Earnest of the Spirit. This word is not used commonly, but it means money which is used in purchases and is given as a pledge or a down payment. We wouldn't call it the earnest today, but we'd call it the down payment. It has to be something paid down so you can go ahead with something and get something. What else would that be? An engagement ring is a pledge or promise to a woman that you will marry her. The Holy Spirit is our earnest. You might say it this way so you'll understand it. The Holy Spirit is our engagement ring from the Lord. Yeah. The Holy Spirit tells us, you're going to get a new body. You're going to heaven one day. Hey, God has given us the Holy Spirit as a pledge concerning the matters that we will experience in the future. The Holy Spirit says to the child of God, the best is yet to come. Hang on. The best is yet to come. Live by faith. Hold on, child of God. The best is yet to come. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit says things like this. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the earnest. That's the engagement ring or the pledge or the promise from the Spirit of God. We have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Here's the wording. Reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us and says, soon and very soon, you're going to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes beside us and says, not very long, we'll be with Jesus. Stay faithful. And Paul said, oh, I'm longing for it. And to quote him in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Let's live with one eye on eternity. It involves the promise of a new body. It involves the pining for a new body. And it involves the pledge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, it's true. You're going to get a new body one day. Hold on. The best is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will come up next to you and say, sister, brother, this life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Hold on. There's not many more days to run the race of faith. Does the Holy Spirit tell you that now? Yes, he does. Child of God, not very many more days, not too much longer, and we're going to see Jesus face to face.